Blog Talk Radio.
Enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another Thursday night edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful Sandy Monroe, New Jersey. We are your weekly three-hour weekly get-together where we give you all the biggest news from around the world of hard rock, heavy metal, and of course, the wide world of sports. And guys, thanks for tuning in. We got a big show. We're going to get right to it tonight. But I hope you guys have had a great week. It's chaos out there. But you know what? We're going to ignore that. We're going to ignore that a little bit tonight. Certainly not going to get into it. Maybe a little bit with our guest, Tommy John. But short of that, we're going to stay away from all the craziness and concentrate on craziness in sports. You know, Giants, Jets, that's crazy enough. One team on the rise, even though I don't know. We'll get to that. Lots to talk about tonight. We got Tommy John on 7:45. Paul Gill, Jeff and I, our dear friend, is going to come on about 7:15. Talk baseball, Major League Baseball season, kind of put the bow on the season. We'll get to that in about 7:15. Our good friend Rafael Esparza, the head odds maker at mybookie.ag, pops in about 8:30 on an off week. Kind of catch up with him, and there's lots of stuff in the betting world to talk about. Heisman races, we got college football playoffs, we got so much to get to. We got the upcoming Tyson fight at the end of the month. So much to talk to him about. We'll get to that tonight. We have so much. I'm so glad you guys are here with us. We are here every Thursday night, 6, 7 to 10. Well, maybe a little earlier tonight. We'll see. And we got so much to talk about. And I'm going to get my co-host and my dear friend on right now. His name is Cakes. I don't know why he's calling himself Cakes, but I'm going to add Mr. Jeff the Green Talwinski to the air. Jeff, welcome to the show.
What's up, man?
What's up, brother? What's going on?
Nah, nothing much, dude. Nothing much.
Yep, lots to get to this week, Jeff. A crazy week in football. Lots of weird games. We'll kind of get to that maybe with Rafael and a little bit after. But so much going on in the world today. But we're going to try to keep it to sports and music. What do you think?
Yeah, the only thing I could say about what's going on is just everybody needs to calm down. Nothing was finished counting yet.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's bugging out over nothing. And you know what? It is kind of bullshit because some of these places have had votes for how long?
Yeah.
The mail-in voting, and you're still waiting, you're still counting votes.
Yeah. Listen, it's some crazy stuff. I mean, you know, stop and counting at 10:30 at night and a ballot showing. Listen, you know what? Like I said, there's so much. I don't know what's going to change, what's not going to change, and I really don't care at this moment in my life. Whatever happens, it happens, and the show will go on, our lives will go on, and it's too much for me to worry about in my life.
Yeah, that's the whole point of it. Everything is still going to go on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. I want it to be a fair and regardless of who wins. I'll tell you one thing, Jeff. I don't want to get into politics of it, but whoever these guys who do the polls are, that industry is done as far as I'm concerned. I don't know how much you pay attention to that, but there were polls that had Joe Biden leading in Wisconsin by 17 points And if he wins it, it'll be around, I think it's like maybe 2 points. I mean, just to completely, the polling in the last two elections has just been horrendous. So
listen, when it comes to that, whatever the case is,
but
you know, who the fuck knows? But like you said, tonight's not the night. We don't even know what we're talking about tonight because you don't know if there's a winner. And who knows if there'll be a winner by next week.
Yeah, listen, I'm sure there'll be a winner by the weekend. Maybe because it'll probably happen just before the weekend. Like they always do, they dump news stories right before the weekend so that it kind of blows over a little bit. But listen, this is going to go through the court system. This will be a raging debate that they're already asking for recounts. So this is not going to be over anytime soon. And you know what? At this point, like I said, let them figure it out. And then whatever happens, you just hope it's a fair thing. But speaking of fair, I'm going to get my dad on because then we got Paul coming up. We got a lot of Jets and Giants stuff to get to. We got plenty of stuff to talk about. I want to get a little something in about my friends over. Let me see. Hold on a second. Let me get I got a message from my boys at Black Sasquatch. Okay, yeah, let me get that on real quick. Thanksgiving Eve, November 25th, featuring Audio Side. With special guests Dejected, Sam Levy's birthday party, doors at 6, pre-sale $5, $10 at the door, Somewhere Else Bar, 386 West Main Street, Newark, Ohio. Get down to Sam Levy's birthday party featuring, it's Audio Side, with special guests Dejected, Black Sasquatch, our good friends. So make sure you guys, if you're doing nothing November 25th, that's Thanksgiving Eve, if you're not making your turkey, and even if you are, throw it in the oven and run down to Sam Levy's birthday party on November 25th at Somewhere Else Bar, 386 West Main Street, Newark, Ohio. Make sure you check them out. Those guys are the best. Lots of stuff coming up from Black Sasquatch. Hopefully we'll get those guys on soon. But we got plenty to get to. We're waiting for our good friend Paul Gill to pop up in about 5 or 6 minutes. But in the meantime, let's get my dad on. Let's see what he's got to talk about. And then we'll get ready for Paul. Jeff, you ready?
Yep, let's do it.
Hey, Pop.
Hey, Tom. What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Yeah,
good.
I've been waiting all week for you guys because I watched the Giant game.
Yep.
And I thought it was a fantastic game. My one thing, maybe it's me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching the game. Now, I love Tom Brady. I think he's a great quarterback of his era. Nobody's been better than him.
I agree.
You got a couple of minutes left, whatever it was in the left of the game, okay? And he's going for his touchdown, whatever he's going for. And you put him on with a three-man rush. I'm trying to understand. I'm screaming at the TV. I'm actually screaming. The Giants have proved through the years that if you put pressure on him or any quarterback, he sat there, he could have had breakfast. I counted up 5, 6, 7 seconds, and he was still standing there looking for his man. You put it to, what was the Giants thinking? Is it me? Or, I mean, I would send the whole team after him. I would forget the receivers, forget everything. As soon as that ball was snapped, just go after him. Why would you sit there and put it to, you cannot, listen, I don't care how many guys you put on anybody. I don't know how great the defensive back is, safety is. But if you're sitting there and you give him enough time to, if his first pad is not working, he's going to beat you. Am I crazy or what?
Jeff, I'll let you take it first if you like.
You know, listen, you're right. Everybody knows all you got to do is rush up the middle at him and flush him out a little bit, and he gets flustered. And I didn't see that part of the game. I had gone to bed by that point in time. But I agree with you. You know, why give this guy all the time in the world that he needs? Throw everything that you got at him. I understand that they got a suspect secondary, so maybe they were using the extra help to watch the wide receivers, but you got to put on pressure. You don't put pressure on him, then, you know, you might as well just let those guys just stand there with their hands up and let him move around back there.
Yeah, I agree. Here's what I'll say. I thought the Giants played a decent game, especially defensively. They were in it. I thought they got robbed on about four calls, a couple of holding penalty, and two pass interference, and the last play of the game. You're right, Dad. Too many teams go into that prevent, or you know, put more DBs out there. I would have went after with pressure. There's two theories, and I like your theory, and it's worked for the Giants in the past. So I don't know why they abandoned. They were getting to him, and they were pressuring him all night, and they took the watchdogs off and let him throw. But a good game by the Giants, and you know what? They may be 1-7, and I get that they're not a great team. I get that, you know, they're 1-5 in games when they're like losing in the last minute. But this team is a better team, at least being coached. They're still short of talent, but this team is very well coached and they're very well poised. And I think there's a bright future, some new parts. But I thought it was a good game too.
I thought they played good. I think they have a very good team. I think the kid has to be taught a little more. He's still young, and he's got to be taught when to eat the ball and when to throw it away.
I agree.
And I still think when he comes out and when he gets that snap, he has to learn to roll. I'm sorry. He don't have the line to protect him.
Yeah.
And as soon as he snapped the ball, they were all over him.
I thought they did a better job of going to they ran a couple of trick plays, which I thought was good. I thought they did a better job of moving him around. And I tell you what, you know, we everybody can pick on him, and I'll let Jeff go right after me because I know Jeff has some issues with it. But I thought the kid did a great job in that last drive. He had 2 4th and 15 and a 4th and 16, and he made them both. And he showed a lot of poise, got him down, scored the touchdown. And I'll say that he threw a bad pass on that last play, but it still should have been pass interference. Go ahead, Jeff.
I would imagine that the Bucs were playing a soft D on it, maybe playing a little prevent or something and giving this guy plenty of room. I can't see Daniel Jones orchestrating a comeback at this point in time. The guy
did a good job.
In the NFL that has more turnovers than him in the same amount of games is Carson Wentz.
Listen, I agree with that.
That guy's career is going right now.
Jim, I agree, but he did put a nice job together. And regardless, listen, you complete 4th down and 15s on a final drive, that's pretty impressive. One with his feet, one with his arms. So, again, there's a lot of stuff you could throw. He gave up 10 points by himself with two bad picks. So I agree with you that there's a lot to be desired so far with Daniel Jones, but I think the kid's got a future, Dad. I don't know about you, but I like the guy. And people forget Eli Manning.
I love him. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he reminds me a lot of Eli Manning.
Yeah,
okay?
Absolutely.
He's a tough kid. He takes a beating. He's not afraid to get hurt. And it's just like a lot of quarterbacks. He has to learn when to throw the ball away or when to eat it. He threw, especially the run back they made on the kickoff. And they went, 40-something yard line. They were, you know, you have momentum, you have everything. And plus their defense was, I think they have a very, very good defense. They were playing a very good team. I mean, you're not playing a bum team. These guys are pretty good.
Some people think they're the best team in the NFC.
I don't know about
Yeah.
Well, the way things are going today, I can believe it. It was a good game. I enjoyed the Giants.
Yeah, I thought it was a good game. Interesting game this weekend. Hey, listen. Just go out there and play the game. I love the way this guy Judge coaches. We'll get to a lot of it more later after Tommy John's on. But, you know, I have to tell you, I've been impressed with the coaching staff, with some of their pickups. And, you know, they're a year or so away, but that's okay. I like what I've seen so far.
I do, too. All right, I'm going to let you guys go. I'm going to call back later. I want to hear Tommy John. I love it. I'm going to hear him tonight.
You got it, Bob. No problem.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
You got it.
Yeah,
hey, Dad. Okay. So, Jeff, you know, I know you're not thrilled with what you've seen so far from Daniel Jones, but we're gonna table. Yeah, real quick, because I want to get Paul. Paul just popped up. So, but yeah, give me a quick take.
I just think that you're putting too much on him, and you're putting too much. And I just don't think that he's the answer. And in today's NFL, every time that somebody draft somebody, oh, that's him, that's the man, that's our godsend.
Well, I think Jeff,
think just because he was the sixth pick doesn't mean anything.
No, I agree with that. But you don't draft a guy at number six and go, well, he's really not that good. Your ideas, you picked him because you thought he was. And again, one last thing before, you know, Eli Manning's first 3.5 years, he was up and down. People were calling for his head. You know, the whole bit, and then he goes into that playoffs, goes on a run, wins the Super Bowl, and now, you know, Eli Manning is cemented in Giant law for the rest of his life. So, you know, I'm willing to give this kid a little time. I've seen enough from him. But listen, let's table the Giants for a few. It's time to talk some baseball and put a bow on the season. We got it. We got to put – we got
seconds.
Yeah, don't worry about that. That's again, that's just Block Talk doing its thing. I don't know. It doesn't matter tonight. We don't need Block Talk, but I'll let it hang as long as it can. Let's get – he's a friend of ours for over 40 years, and I think he's our baseball expert. I just haven't nailed him down to a contract, so let's get our good friend Paul Gill on. What's up, Gil?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Mr. Paul?
How you doing?
What's going on?
All good out here, Paul. We're enjoying some sports talk tonight, getting ready to get some stuff. And, throughout all this craziness, we did have sports this year. So I wanted to put a bow on the season, and I thought no better way to do it than getting you on and talking some baseball.
Let's do it.
All right, so, I'll start it off, Jeff, and of course, you, as usual, you jump right in when you feel up to it. Paul, obviously, this is a baseball season not compared to any we've ever seen before. Okay, when you look at it now that it's over, when you say now it's in the past, we got through the World Series, I think baseball did a decent job getting through the season. Give me your overall take on baseball 2020.
You know what, baseball is unique because it is the only sport that plays 162 games usually. We played 60 games. And, all throughout the season, I kept thinking to myself, well, when the season first started, I kept thinking, how many times in our 40-some-odd years of watching baseball, after 60 games, teams that seem like the powerhouse, the ones that are going to be amazing, at the end, they're not there, or at least they're not the powerhouse.
Right.
So here we had a microcosm of what a baseball season is. It intensified everything. The guy who goes on a 25-game hitting streak just had a hitting streak for half the season. Like, it was intense.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, I thank God we had baseball. I don't care if it was 20 games or 60 games or whatever. I'm so glad we had baseball. What I saw was a lot of guys that couldn't adapt to what they had to adapt to, the lack of spring training, COVID tests constantly, games being canceled because one guy in the back office got the virus, it was a weird season. And I think it's a season that could potentially affect how baseball is run and played for years to come. A couple of good things, I think, came from it, though.
Good, because I want to segue to that. But, here's the one that I say. You brought up a good point where teams start off like Tarzan and end up like Jane. But there's also seasons where, teams come off and they're terrible the first half of the season, and then they pick it up in the second half. And I think that kind of – we didn't see that this year. Same thing with players. There's players who get off to slow starts, and the next thing you know, they get their numbers. I want to bring up one or two that, here's what I said, and you tell me how crazy this is. Jeff, you too. I took it this year, whatever happened. I am not putting any stock in anybody's numbers this year. If you were really good this year, but in the years past you haven't been, I'm throwing it out. If you were really bad, and I'll use Alonzo as that stick. Here's a kid who had a great rookie season, did not have a good year this year. I'm throwing it out. I'm going to say it doesn't matter because I think this was just a crazy year. Forget the numbers. I almost think they shouldn't even count the numbers this year. Do you think that's crazy, or how do you read guys who had better than average or worse than average seasons, Paul?
You know what? I hate to use this word because it's bothered us for so long. I mean, like you said, before the season started, if God forbid somebody hits 400 this year, there's got to be an asterisk on it.
Absolutely.
And you know what? And that's what this year is. Now, guys who hit 16, 20 home runs, whatever, batted 340 this year in the 60 games that they played, I mean, it's their stat. It's what they had.
Yeah.
Everybody across the board had the same exact amount of games, amount of days, amount of practice, everything. So the thing is, of course, it should count in that respect. But in terms of like some record-breaking record, or I don't fault the Dodgers for winning the series.
Oh no,
they are the World Series
completely legit
of 2020.
Completely legit.
So it's weird though because it's like it's a 162 game season plus the playoffs, and we had like a little tiny piece of it. And again, like I said in the beginning, thank God for it. But it was really weird. I think one of the things that's going to come from this I mean, the owners, I mean, everybody did, but the owners lost so much friggin' money this
year.
Mm-hmm. Like, I really wonder how that's going to play into owners going out looking at free agents.
Oh, you're going to see it. Yeah, you're going to see
totally
it.
Totally re-upping. Yeah.
You're going to see it because, Paul, you don't know what you're going to have next year. Nobody's guaranteeing that there'll be fans next year. So, Jeff, going back, let's go to you before I go to Paul for the next thing. You know, when you look at the stats from players this year, are you putting much stock in guys who are up or down? Just, you know, this is kind of, to me, a weird season.
It's kind of hard to really say that, though, simply because just last year, DeGrom ended up winning the Cy Young Award with 9 wins. You know, so it's like there's somebody, there's a showing last year, a guy didn't even win 10 games, and they give him the Cy Young Award. And we're here talking about how the stats from this year compared to last year. I will agree the stats are upside down simply because, like Paul said, you can have a 25-game hitting streak that's half the season. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Even some of these other guys, they get hot 2 or 3 weeks out of the year, and I'm talking really hot. And then next thing you know, they could be batting over 300, you know, 320. And normally this is a guy that maybe is batting 280. But because he had a hot stretch at the right time, it boosted up his average. Home runs and power numbers are the ones that really suffered the most. Strikeouts, wins for pitches. But, you know, normal ERA. I don't know what the league leader was, but, you know, one or two bad games. And next thing you know, your ERA could be in the sevens.
Well, you're
big difference.
Absolutely. And, you know, Jeff, and now you and I have talked about personal awards this year. Paul, you know, I'm a big believer in that this year there should be no MVP. There should be no Cy Young. You know, I just don't see the personal awards being something that's worth merit. You know, to think DeGrom could have his third Cy Young this year based on a, you know, 10 or 12 starts just bothers me. Your thought?
I agree 1,000%. I mean, you know what? Every single Cy Young MVP that has been awarded in the past has been, what, 154, 162 games?
Yeah,
whatever.
Sure.
And now we're going to give someone the same accolade for a third of that season? I agree 1,000%. I mean, it shouldn't be given out. I mean, it's just another part of the world that we're living in right now. And, you know, people are suffering all over in some way or another. And baseball and awards should probably suffer the same way.
Yeah,
it's not the same season.
Let me ask you something. Don't you think that the people that did do good for the amount of games that they played should get acknowledged on some level? I mean, say you get a guy that hit 15 home runs, okay? He basically played a third of the season, which means that he would hit somewhere between 45 – I'll say 40 to 50 home runs. I'll put him in that area. And let's say that he had 40 RBIs. That means that he could be up to maybe 120, 125 RBIs on the season. I know that he didn't catch that number. But, I mean, don't you give him some kind of credit, some kind of accolade?
I won't. And here's why. Do we really think, Paul, that Luke Voit would have hit 66 home runs this year? He had 22 home runs in – he didn't even play 60 games. Do I really believe that Luke Voit's going to hit 66 home runs? No. I unfortunately for them, I just can't give them an award for playing the third of the season and giving an MVP. Again, you can't. Again, I'll say it 100 times. It's like being the tallest midget at the circus. Does it really matter if you won the most games out of 10?
And I mean, the other way of looking at it too is like, Luke Voit, for instance, here's a guy who I think 2 or 3 years ago was working out of Piggly Wiggly, you know, and he came in and he did what he did. God bless him, because he was one of the bright notes on the Yankees this year. But like, I can't justify giving the honor of an MVP or a Cy Young in this particular season.
Correct.
Like, and make it be equal to the guy that won it last year or the year before or 25 years ago. When he played through how many hundred games, right?
Right.
He played through all kinds of things and, you know, like injuries. And I mean, look, in a shortened season, we had a bunch of injuries. But in a shortened season, you're less likely to get injured during the season. It's basic math.
Sure.
And the thing is, part of being an MVP, part of being a Cy Young, part of winning those awards is, you know, being able to be healthy enough to win that award. So it's, yeah, I mean, I don't know. No, they shouldn't give him out.
You know what? It's just the same, on the same token, and Paul, we, me and Tommy like to do this just about every subject. We got to investigate the other side. A guy gets a small injury. Say a guy stubs his toe in the morning getting up out of bed and he's a pitcher. And he loses three spots, you know, three turns. What happens? That's like losing 10 games over the course of the season for some of these guys. So I understand what you're saying, you got to think of it, the smallest injury could be something that, you know, could be devastating to a guy in this season.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, the thing is, I just don't think that we can equate like their accomplishment this year to any other year. You know, we can't make it equal. I mean, again, if you want to give him an MVP, if you want to give him a Cy Young, I think you got to put a little asterisk on it.
I agree. If you want to say the guy won the batting title because he wound up with the best average or the Cy Young or the ERA title, okay, you know, it's not a big deal. But to give out Cy Youngs and MVPs, I can't do it. I just can't do it. But the guys, Hard Rocket Sports, 347-826-9934 on the radio side. We're here on the live stream side. Jeff Twinski, Tom Flory, and our good friend Paul Gill talking baseball, putting a little bow on the season 2020, the most interesting baseball season. Hey, Paul, you know what? Let's talk about some of the changes that you mentioned. And there's a bunch. I want you to tell me which ones you liked, what you didn't like, and what you would keep going forward, both of you guys. Runner on second base in extra innings. I didn't like it before. I'm not sure I dislike it now.
Hate it.
Okay. Why?
I mean, the game is about winning the game. Like putting a guy on second base is just saying we don't want to stay here that long. And I mean, it bothers me. It's like you didn't earn second base.
Yeah. No. Nope.
You know, that's me.
Okay. So no keeping from Jeff. Would you keep something like that going forward, Jeff?
No, because in football, that's like letting a team line up in the field goal range. So they at least, you know, they're gonna at least kick the field goal.
Interesting comparison.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Like Paul said, it's not even that I want to go as far as to say earn it, but I mean, come on, man, that's like putting a guy halfway. A guy bunts, and you get a real speedster on the bases. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could score from second base real easy that way. I don't like it.
Okay, I agree. Okay, no problem. How about the DH, Paul? You're a guy but love of baseball. You're a National League guy. Did you like the National League and you want to keep it?
Love it, and I want to keep it. And I know you should laugh at me because how many years have I been telling you
absolutely.
The DH is bullshit?
Yes.
And I friggin' love it.
You know,
love it.
You know,
I want to keep it.
For you, I'll tell you why. It keeps Dominic Smith and Pete Alonso on the same team. And I'll tell you what, I think Dom Smith may have been the best player on the Mets this year. Without the DH, you have a hard time keeping both of them.
Hated Dominic Smith.
I know you did.
The second he came up, I thought he was fat. I thought he was lazy. I thought this and that and this and that. And I totally misjudged this guy.
Yeah.
And this guy came in, and it was his time.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be our first baseman. And this Alonso kid came up. Made all kinds of sparks. He lost his gig.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up being one of the best guys in our dugout.
Mm-hmm.
He's loved by everybody, and he had 42 friggin' RBIs this year.
Yeah,
I mean,
good. See,
God bless him.
Absolutely, Jeff DH.
I'm not a big baseball guy, you know that. But the thing to me is the difference between the American League and the National League that makes each one unique is the DH.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of not having a DH. It reminds me of what old-time baseball must have been like to play. A little bit more grit, a completely different mindset of a game, different strategy, different everything. I'm not saying that it's, you know, a DH is always going to be good for 35 home runs and 100 RBIs, but more often than not, that's closer to the numbers he's going to get than what a pitcher does. I think it makes the game more pure. I would like to see them keep it the way it was with no DH. That's me.
Well,
the American League keep the DH. It mixes it up in the World Series. You know.
Yeah, I get it.
It's an advantage for the National League.
Well,
because when they do get to the series, they're getting the advantage of the DH when they play in the American League. And the National League pitchers hit all year round. Meanwhile, the American League pitchers don't even know how to hold a bat.
Yeah, but
so
how many?
It's an advantage.
To an extent, I got you. The problem is how many National League pitchers are hitting 110 with three RBIs for the season? I don't think these guys are any good anyway.
Yeah, never mind the season.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not a big fan of the pitchers hitting. It's almost like an automatic out. And I think it causes, you know, again, it's a lot of strategy, Jeff. I agree with you.
Yeah,
but I think
you know,
get to that sixth inning in a close game and you're pulling your pitcher out because he's a liability.
That's the game that you
play. I got it. I agree with you on that. But I think
who do you put in? What do you do? You know, there's a lot going on there.
I'm not
on your game for that shit.
Gotcha. Paul, seven inning doubleheaders. Didn't like it. Understood why they did it, but I'm not a fan of a seven inning doubleheader. I think it. I think it changes the whole game the way you take a look at today and tomorrow. But I understand why they did it. I don't want to go forward. Your thought?
I didn't like it. I mean, I understand why, but like,
yeah.
If there's nobody in the stands and that's what you're worried about, play the friggin' game.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the big deal? What, are they going to hang out together for 5 or 6 hours rather than seven? I mean, it didn't make sense to me. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I agree. Jeff, any thoughts on the seven-inning doubleheader?
I think a doubleheader is outlived its norm anyway, so
mm-hmm.
to speak. You know what I mean? I don't think it's a good thing for baseball like it once was. I don't think people are interested in it. So for me, I have to say, if you're going to have them, make them nine innings. Don't change them or just don't have them at all. And I agree with you, Paul. If you're already going to be there, you're already there. What difference does it make?
Did it.
A couple minutes is not going to save anybody from COVID. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. Paul, the expanded playoffs, I disliked. I think it took away from the regular season. I think it made it's almost like the old, you know, hockey. You know, you can kind of coast and just get in and then get hot. I'm not a fan of doubling up on there. I know why they did it, to get some more revenue going. I hope they don't continue it, but they're going to.
Do you know that for sure?
No, they haven't announced it, but every time they've talked about it, it's the smile and we're looking into it. I can't see them not doing it going forward. It's too much money involved, and gives them, you know, you could take some of those games and put them on streams, and you know, it just opens up more avenues for Major League Baseball to bring in more money from different networks. So, no, I'll guarantee it. I haven't heard it, but I guarantee they're going to do it, and I don't like it at all.
I mean, I don't like it in one respect, because what makes baseball unique is that a smaller percentage of the teams that play make it to the playoffs.
Right.
That makes it a prize, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, being a Mets fan, and knowing that with the expanded playoffs, it gives me a little bit more of a shot for my shitty team to get in.
Yeah.
I mean, in that respect, I'm like, yeah, all right.
I mean, I gotcha, but I got it. But it cheapens the regular season. I'm sorry. It just gets to a point where, you know, how many teams are we going to get? It's like football adding two more teams. You know, it cheapens it.
Well, listen,
right.
This ain't
about
football yet. We didn't even get there. You know, see what happens when they actually play. With that season and you know, extra teams in the playoffs. I'll add this much to it. It may cheapen it. I don't know. That's up to, you know, the person, the individual that's watching it. But being that, you know, they're going to take away the DH, possibly the way they do interleague play, then if they're going to add two more teams, then why not throw them all in the same pool and, you know, maybe do a little round robin tournament or something and revise the way that they do the playoffs. You know, seed these teams, put them all into one pool. 16 teams, 16 plays, one, whatever, regardless of what league, what division you're in. Maybe at the end of the season, maybe you get the Yankees, Red Sox in there, or the Mets, Braves in the World Series. You may get better teams in the World Series. You know, you can't tell me every year the two best teams in Major League Baseball are playing in the World Series. You don't really believe
they
that.
They did this year, though.
Well,
this year for sure. Yeah, for sure. I agree. This year it worked out that way. I agree.
You know, I mean, but everybody knows they would have rather seen the Yankees play the Dodgers in the World Series.
Well, I mean, that's what baseball would want, because it's two big markets. So yes, I agree with you on that. I'm sure not everybody. You know, I'm sure Paul wouldn't like the Yankees Dodgers, but
no, but you know what I'm talking about.
No, but I yes.
Like Tampa Bay versus the Dodgers. Did anybody on this side of the country even want to see that?
Yeah, nobody's watching. Nobody's watching Tampa. I watched bits and pieces. I was rooting for the Dodgers for two reasons. I wanted them to win. It's been a long time, and I hate Tampa. I hate Tampa Bay. So it was good for me on my end. But a good team, Tampa. No, you can't knock them. They, no budget, and they keep churning out pitchers. Before we get too late in this post, I want to get to the Mets, but I got to ask you real fast. I hate the way the game's played today. I do. There's no strategy. Nobody bunts anymore. Nobody steals bases. Nobody hit and runs. The strategy of baseball is long gone. It's one base at a time because you don't want to get thrown out. So the next guy can come up with a 3-run homer. I don't like the way the game's played today. I still love the game, but I don't like because there's no strategy. Your thoughts? Do you like the way today's game is played? You're an avid fan. Do you like it?
For the same reasons that you're saying, no, I don't. The hit and run, these kind of things are where you get guys who have different skill sets.
Yeah.
And I think that what teams are trying to do is they're setting up a batting order where every second guy has the potential to hit the home run or maybe drive one into the gap. They don't think about having speed guys batting first, batting second,
mm-hmm.
guys who can go from first to third. I agree. It's one of the things. I'm a traditionalist in that respect. That I want to see the game played in the dirt. I want to see guys dirty by the third inning because they're sliding, trying to catch that extra base. I don't see it. Hit and runs are gone. I mean, forget it. Who bunts anymore? I don't think anybody knows how to bunt.
Nope. Not even the pitchers.
No, and that's the worst thing because it's the only thing they really have to do in the National League,
Yeah.
And they don't do it, So no. I mean, you know what? The long ball is sexy. It always has been.
Yeah.
But it's gotten more sexy. It also comes with a lot of dollars. It comes with a lot of dollars in the stands and a lot of dollars in the player's pocket. So that's what it is. I mean, eventually, I don't know if we're going to live long enough to see this, but eventually, there's going to be a point where half of your team has the potential of hitting 30 home runs.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And
I don't agree with that.
I agree with that. Yeah.
That if a guy has the potential, the team has the potential, everybody on it, to hit 30 home runs, that means the guy leading your team in RBIs may have 50, 55. Next to home runs, the greatest thing is watching a grand slam or a 3-run homer. And if everybody and their mother on the team can hit home runs, we'll never see that. But I hear you. The game is going to change, definitely, and we might not be here to see it and see what it evolves to, but it has always evolved from 100 years ago, it seems, it's evolved.
Yeah, but it's suffering now, Jeff. Here's the problem. You're either hitting home runs or you're striking out. Everything's a strikeout. Guys are striking out 100 times a year, and everybody's hitting great hitters, supposedly, hitting 240.
I hear you, but once again, baseball does not care about you two.
I got it. We know.
Nobody cares about you two. You know who they care about? They care about me. You know why they care about me? Because they want to add more fans. You're going to watch. You two guys are going to watch baseball no matter what the game does. They're after me. They want me in there. So what are they going to do? I couldn't care less about hitting runs, bunts, stealing bases, and dirty uniforms. I want to see some guy hit a 500-foot home run.
Yeah.
I want to see if he can put it into the parking lot. And that's what they're going after. They're going to go after the casual fan, the person that's not there every week or several times a week. That's who they want. Because they already got you guys. You guys are lifers. You ain't going anyplace. Especially you, Paul. You're really into baseball. It's a big thing for you. Tommy, football's more your game. We both know that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're a baseball guy, too. But that's how I see it. They want me.
That's a good point, Jeff. That's a very good point. You're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
Listen, I agree wholeheartedly with Jeff. Again, Hot Rocket Sports, 347-826-9934 and 4 on the radio side. You're watching Jeff Towinski, Tom Florio, and, of course, our good friend Paul Gill talking baseball, putting a bow on it. We're about 5-6 minutes from Tommy John, so I want to get to the Mets because it would not be the same without if we couldn't get to how excited as a Met fan. And now, listen, lots of good things have happened to the Mets over the years that haven't transitioned to World Series titles. But how excited are you right now with Cohen coming in? And what do you think is – you said it before, You don't know what that's going to translate this year because of the monies. I think he's the one owner right now who doesn't care about last year's gate sales, taxes. He wants to go out there and put the Mets on the map again. How excited are you for the season?
I am hugely excited. First off, anybody not named Wilpon who owns this team, I'm a fan of.
Okay,
first of all. Secondly,
would you say that? Would you say that if it was A-Rod? If A-Rod and J-Lo owned this team, would you be as excited?
Hell yeah.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Okay.
Because you know the thing is the culture of the Mets ownership is what it is. It has been for 30, 40 years now. The culture has to change. You know, and here comes a guy, Cohen. Now, I don't know a hell of a lot about him. I know kind of his background, where he made his money, how he made his money, mm-hmm. how much money he has. I get that. And the thing is, and you guys are going to laugh at me about this, but I'm thinking that this could be the reincarnation of George. This could be a Steinbrenner kind of thing where he comes in. And you know what? George, he had his faults and he had his attributes, but he made some mistakes, but he also created winners. He went out, he got what it is that his people, he surrounded himself with good people. That's mm-hmm. what I hope Cohen does. But he surrounded himself with good people. He took their advice. Sometimes it was right, sometimes it was wrong. But those teams that he had over those years were amazing. And that's what I'm hoping that Cohen goes into, and he puts what he needs to behind it, and he accepts his losses, and hopefully we have some wins.
Right.
I am positive about it.
Yeah, listen, I think you should be, because I agree. I think even before, but Madoff really killed the Wilpons and their ambition to spend money and fix this team. But you know, a lot of their problems was, you know, the decision making on some of the players. But let's talk about that real fast. So, you know, the first thing I say is the Mets have lived the last few years on, they have, you know, maybe the best staff in baseball. I think it's time to blow that staff up. I'm done with Mats. Joaquin Pucella, I think, are just, you know, no help. Syndergaard can't stay healthy, and you know, so right now you're really dealing with, you know, DeGrom and who? You're going to bring Stroman back? Is he going to come back? Would you blow it up, Paul, and go get Trevor Bauer? You know, what would you do?
That they're gonna continue with Syndergaard. I think we're going to cross our fingers that we get a healthy season out of him. I think that one of the big splashes is that the Mets are going to go out and get one of the top three free agent pitchers. And I think they're going to trade for a pitcher as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think that Stroman is in the picture. Stroman never wanted to be here. You know,
I wouldn't want him back.
And the thing is, there are a bunch of places that Stroman can go. I also think that Stroman killed himself by opting out of the season.
Oh, absolutely.
When now he's going for a deal. Like, I think he's looking at a 2 or 3 year deal with somebody, two with an option, you know, and he's going to have to prove himself again, you know. But I can see them bringing in two serious pitchers, not Porcello and Waka, like we did last year.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the first move and their big move is probably going to be Springer. They do need a center fielder, and then you hope that McNeil returns to form. You hope that Alonzo returns to form. And I also think they got to go get a catcher. So I think it's Springer and a catcher. Can they get Realmuto? I don't know. But I think that's their first two moves. But, yeah, I got to be honest with you. I think they got to make the splash on a pitcher.
Yeah. And Realmuto, everything that I'm reading is that he wants to play anywhere but in New York.
Yeah, but that's the smokescreen sometimes, you know. But I also read that the guy Salisbury said that he'll play for the money. Now, I get scared of guys like that who don't really want to come here but will take the money. That usually is a bad thing. And I love Bauer, but I think him in New York with the social media stuff, I think he's a bad guy for that clubhouse. That's my opinion. Great pitcher, don't get me wrong, but I think that's the last guy they should be after. But, you know, I think he's looking to make a splash, Cohen, and make a difference. Bullpen, Paul, what do you do with the bullpen? Betances was a disaster. I'm not crazy about Diaz. Familia, where do you go with the bullpen? You leave Lugo in the bullpen?
Well, the unfortunate part of it is that we don't have a lot of moves with many of those guys. The one guy that I'd like to keep is Wilson, and I don't think it would cost much. I think he's been solid. Mm-hmm. Diaz was better. Of course, he was better under a situation where he didn't have any pressure. And that's what I think the problem with Diaz is. When Diaz is under pressure, when the team is contending, Diaz falls to pieces. You know, but you know, with the pen, I think that they need to grab a serious lefty, and frankly, cross their fingers, because I don't think that they can trade any of these guys. The Familia deal was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
we're going to be stuck with him forever. And you know, I mean, it's just with the pen. You know what? The pen is going to be as good as our starting pitching is. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
You have to fix it in the starters.
Yeah, again, you, who knows when you're going to get Syndergaard back. DeGrom's DeGrom, but, you know, I think it's, you know, we're the Mets are wasting that talent. We're getting to a point now where you need to start building this team for now. It's not no more the future. It needs to be now.
Right, right. And the thing is, if we're going to commit to Conforto and give Conforto money, which, frankly, he deserves now, you know, and continue to pay Cano, I mean, like, continue to pay the deals that we have, you know, like, we're going to have to bring in the two or three guys now that are going to put us over the top, at least get us into the playoffs in a legitimate season.
Well, see, here's my problem with Conforto. Now, here's a guy who, in the normal years, has not been able to stay healthy, has not played well, had a good season this year in 60 games. So now, are we buying Conforto? I like Conforto. He's not that next great player, but are we buying Conforto for 160 next year, or are we hoping that we buy him for next year?
I'm hoping that we can lock in Conforto for 3 to 4, maybe 5 years at a reasonable amount. I'm talking 14, 15 million a year. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, if you start pushing towards 20, Conforto is not a $20 million player.
No,
but,
no.
You know, and then, so, you know, and if, I mean, you know what? I mean, if we don't do it, then we spend the money somewhere else. And Steve Cohen might do that. That's where the George element comes in.
Yeah, and I agree.
That's what I'm kind of excited about.
Yeah, and I think you're going to – and again, I think at least the first year, I think he's going to blow it up. I don't think the free agent market is going to be – is going to fly off, because teams don't know what they're going to get next year as far as a luxury tax. Nobody knows if there's going to be fans in the seats. Are we going to get a full season? So I think teams are going to be very reluctant to run out there and start signing, except Cohen. I think Cohen's throwing money all over the place, and he's going to put a team on the field. I think this guy thinks of this like Strat-O-Matic baseball. You know, he now owns a Strat-O-Matic team, and he's going to put the best team out there, because because not only is he the owner, but he's a huge fan.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's good for the Mets. Let's see what else I want to get to. Betances, should they bring back Strowman? Strowman's out. Let's see. Boy, I had a couple more things I wanted to bring up. I did that. Again, Hard Rockin' Sports, 347-826-9934 on the radio side. Oh, you know what? I want to talk about the playoffs real quick, but I want to go back before I forget. What I did like in the playoffs was not all this time in between games. They were playing 5 straight days, taking a couple days off, and then moving to the next series. I loved the fact that the games were night, and it forced the teams to be careful of the pitchers they used, because you didn't have the off days to give guys a chance to get back. Did you enjoy? Did you like that in the playoffs? And I thought it added more strategy to the game.
I liked it, but the one thing about the playoffs that I thought was weird was there were no day games on the weekends. Like, I mean, if I'm sitting on a Saturday or a Sunday and it's playoff time, I want to see a game at 1. I want to see a game at 4. You know, that I thought was odd. I like the fact that they kind of played them in a row. But the thing is, in a 162 game season, when you're trying to space the pitcher out, you know, are you hamstringing teams, saying, okay, your number one starter can start game 1, but if you want to start him game 5, you're starting him on 4 days rest. So all of a sudden, you know, you're kind of changing like what the tradition is.
Where
you would have your number one pitch your first, your middle, and maybe your 7th game.
Right.
You know, I don't know if you could do that anymore, but it was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the playoffs, I enjoyed the playoffs a lot. I really did.
Yeah, I enjoyed the hectic part of it. You played every day. You know, you're not getting to play a game, day off, play 2 games in a day off. You know, you're out there playing, and you couldn't space your pitches out because, you know, you couldn't put everybody in one game or go through a big piece of your bullpen because you had a day off the next day. You know, you were playing every day. So I enjoyed that end of it. Let's go back to Dominic Smith. I think the DH gives the Mets such an advantage, but because they can keep Dominic Smith in playing. But based on this year, he's a chip. You don't have a lot of chips on the Mets. Do you use that chip to go get a pitcher? Or do you upgrade shortstop, third base? And I got to ask you, I'm the Mets, and I signed the check, says Cohen, do you eat the money and get rid of Cano?
I think you're gonna die with Cano, frankly. I mean, he had a good season. He was productive.
Right. But the money's a killer.
We talked about we already committed to that, so yeah. That's that. But the thing is, you know, from the beginning of the season, we all agreed that if Cano could be played sparingly, he could be productive and he could be useful. And I think they proved that this year, that he could do that.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, with the chips that we have, and some of them I'm going to be sad to see go, I can see Nimmo go. I can see Smith go.
Yep.
I can see Conforto go if they can't agree on an extension. I mean, Jimenez is another one. Rosario is another one.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, they could go with the Lindor.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Mets could possibly put together a deal that would send one of the shortstops, somebody else, and then a prospect or two, we could get Lindor playing shortstop for us, which, you know, again, I'd be sad to see whoever went, but I would be really happy to see Lindor in the middle of my lineup. So.
Oh, listen, absolutely. 100%. Guys, we're waiting on Tommy John. He hasn't popped up yet, so I'm holding Paul for a little bit longer, and I want to turn to a little bit of football in a minute. But thanks for tuning in. We hope that Tommy John shows up. He's been confirmed today, so hang in there. If you've turned in to watch Tommy John, if you watch it, turn in to see Jeff. He's still here. He's up in the corner looking sexy as ever. But we're back next Thursday night. No guests scheduled next week, so it's a lot of football. Don't forget, we still have our betting segment with Rafael Esparza coming up at 8:30. Our head odds maker over at mybookie.ag. Paul, all in all, did you enjoy the season because of the pandemic, or did you enjoy it from a baseball standpoint? To put the final bow on the 2020 baseball season, why did you enjoy it, and did you enjoy it?
I definitely enjoyed it. Absolutely, positively enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, firstly, because it was questionable whether or not we were going to have any season.
Right.
And that broke my heart. And then when I heard we were going to have a season, and I heard the sort of the parameters that were put on it, I was skeptical, but I said something is better than nothing. And you know, at the end of the day, there was some really great baseball played this year. Again, I think the playoffs were phenomenal. I'm looking forward to spring training, and I'm hoping that these guys can go and do what they're supposed to do. I'm really happy with the season, though. I'm happy we had it. So.
And last for the bowl for the Mets, were you surprised by the lack of the Mets season? Are you chalking it up to the pandemic, or are you concerned that maybe there was a little bit of hype to this team? Because there were people picking them to be at top of the division, and obviously they didn't make it. What's your thought?
You know, I think the people who were picking them for the top of the division were ignoring the fact that National League East was going to be
the Braves.
Super competitive.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it was great, but it was super competitive.
Oh, yeah. Even the Marlins were a good team this year.
I mean, I don't want to cry about it, but I lost half of my pitching staff before the season started.
Yeah.
You know, there were some good things that happened in the season. There was some bad. I mean, what the Mets did this year,
mm-hmm.
I think there's a few things that were positives. Not enough, though. And, I don't think that what we did this year we can really build on with the personnel that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I think there has to be a few key changes. There's a lot of options out there, and now we have a Steve Cohen mm-hmm. who may be able to open up options that were never available before. So, I mean, again, you know me, I'm the optimistic fan.
Yep.
I'm the optimistic Met fan, and I'm going to be optimistic and say that they're going to go out, make a change or two, and hopefully it'll be a better season. I don't see them as a contender for next year in any way, shape, or form. They're not there yet. They don't have the experience. They don't have the experience of the pressure
mm-hmm.
of being a real contender, not a media contender that says that the New York Mets are they're going to contend.
Yeah.
You know, that was this year. I think they're a year or two away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I want to see the bright signs from this year expand and get better. And I want to see a couple of additions. You know, I want to see people be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to see another year of. I mean, the manager. I mean, this poor guy, he came into this.
Mm-hmm.
He's a rookie manager. We cannot judge him no matter what he did.
Nope, I agree.
It's impossible.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, next year is his rookie managing season as far as I'm concerned, and I got my fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and you know, we're putting the bow on the 2020 baseball season. Listen, I'll say this about the Mets. That's a tough division. I mean, the Nationals, you know, were World Series champions the year before. They faded. I thought the Marlins were a better team this year. The Braves are a tough team, and the Phillies are a good team managed by a good guy there, and Joe Girardi. That's a tough division, and you're right. I think the Mets are a few players away and a year or two from being a contender. But either way, that's a tough division. So and a good division to watch. If you're a fan of baseball, the NL East is a good division.
That is.
Before we let you go, Paul, I still don't have Tommy John, guys, but I do want to get you on because I get beat up by our friend Jeff, the Jet fan, about the Giants. So I need you to give Jeff, tell Jeff why the Giants aren't as bad as the record. Are you a little more optimistic about the Giants based on what you've seen so far?
First of all.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Quiet during the football,
here we go.
Baseball segment. But now I'm going to start voicing my opinion. Paul, your fucking people play baseball. They don't play football, all right? You guys don't know anything about football. All right? That's one thing. Second of all, the Giants have just stumbled and fell off the side of the mountain, dude. That's all there is to it. The problem with the Giants is not so much that they suck. It's the problem of the fans to not turn around and say, yes, they do suck. They need to do this or do that. You're just willing to accept it. That's what I don't understand. You're willing to – Dave Gettleman, that kid, I wouldn't let that fucking guy make arrangements for a Boy Scout fucking movie night.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Okay? You overpick Danny Jones. Saquon Barkley gets hurt every time you turn around. He comes off the fucking injured list to go back on it. And then they suck. Golden Tate is forget it. He's done now. He's finished.
Are you done?
Bail yourself out.
Is he done?
I'm waiting.
Are you done yet?
Go ahead, Paul.
All right. You both know, since we're kids.
Keep going, because I'm going to show Paul. I'm going to distract you while you say that. Go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. My marker for a successful football season is that the Giants are at least one game better than the Jets, and they are. So you know what? Fuck you.
Number one.
When it comes to the Giants, oh, look at you. Now you're teasing me.
Don't let him distract you, Paul. Don't let him distract you.
What is that?
Don't let him distract you. Go get him.
I'll tell you what. Giants, Danny Jones, this thing with the turnovers, man, it has to end. I mean, like, that is the, to me, it's the Achilles heel. It's like, I think the guy's got enough skill. I think, like every other quarterback in the NFL, you could be the greatest quarterback at some aspect of your game, but if the team isn't built around you, like the Jets have always failed that, how they failed at building their team around the quarterback that they had at the time, the Giants are failing
now. And
they are.
Sam Donald.
Exactly. And that is the problem. You got a quarterback that has certain skills, but he has certain weaknesses. So what do? You protect the weaknesses. It's what they did when Sims came in. They gave him what he needed. You know, like, I mean, it is the absolute epitome of the history of Brady. Brady had everything he needed. He had every tool. He had every outlet. He had all the protection he needed. Every weak spot that he had was protected. And the Jets and the Giants aren't doing that right now. And that's why we're 0-7 and 1-6.
Yes, but
you know,
here's the thing.
That's the story.
Yeah, you have to accept 0-7 as the Jets simply so that we could get rid of fucking Adam Gase. The Jets are not part of this equation at all whatsoever until they get rid of Adam Gase. Adam Gase is a cancer, and he cannot win. He does not know what the fuck he's doing. He's overhyped, always was. They played him in their own division. They knew what he was about, and they still hired him as a coach. I don't understand
it. He's got to go. Here's what I'm looking at, Paul. I agree. And by the way, Eric Brady, I agree with you. I have no problem with the Mets going out to buying whatever they need to make this team successful. I'll just say this. The best run of the Yankees was when they actually built it out of the minor leagues and then added key veterans to that thing. They won from 1996 through 2009 based on the core four and even the guys who – you know, weren't big name guys like that. So I agree with you, Cohen. Go spend the money, but fix the minor leagues and shore it up from there. But Jeff, again, guys, here's what I look at with the Giants. They're better coached. This is a team that doesn't make a lot of bad mistakes. Again, quarterback notwithstanding, I get that. I remember, Paul, from 2004 to 2007, people calling for Eli's head because he made mistakes like this. And then all of a sudden he goes on a great run, and now all of a sudden he's there. So I want to be patient with Daniel Jones. I'm sorry, I do. I think the kid's got something.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I'm not.
He has the ability to turn the ball over faster than Superman. You got to be kidding me.
Nah, listen, I understand that, and it's frustrating as a fan.
You still want to keep him?
Now. I do. I absolutely do. I think. Listen, for what again? And when you want to get rid of Eli, and I said to you every time. For what? Who are you going to get right now that's better than Daniel Jones that you can put out there to make the Giants better long term?
This is a team, your beloved New York Giants.
And they are.
Are going to finish in a top five. That doesn't mean anything. That's North Carolina. That's not New York Giants.
All right. But according to the four trophies, you don't recognize them. Yours is made of wood. Your trophy's made of wood.
Whatever. Okay. You're going to have a top five draft pick, and you're going to waste it. Probably wasted on a punter or something stupid like that, or a fucking safety. Okay.
But listen, there's no guarantee that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the next coming of Peyton Manning or John Elway. So I'm happy with the guy I got.
Closer than any quarterback that plays in New York right now.
I don't know that. You don't know that, and I like Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones is.
I'm not. I'm.
Please, no. Come in. Take them off. Let me look in your eyes. Come on. Get closer. Tell me that you think
you think
Daniel Jones is the answer. Come
absolutely,
on.
He's the answer.
Oh, you're fucked up. Come on.
I'm sorry. I let's put it this way. I like the kid. I'm not ready to give up on him. I'm just not ready. I think this team's
also not willing to give up on a general manager that's helped you win seven games.
I said it to you the other day. If they go the rest of the season and they don't and then no better, and I'm saying there's no problem. I'm saying they're ready to move on from it. I'd have no problem with it. I wouldn't have no problem them bringing him back either. I think he's done some good moves. Blake Martinez has been great this year. Bradbury's been great this year. Judge has been the real deal.
And what's their record?
Again, I'm not telling you wrong, but it's not all about record. Paul, you watched the games. You watched the Giants last year, the year before.
You're still not answering the question. You're skirting the question. What's their
record? I don't know. 1-6, 1-7?
1-7. And didn't fucking yes. build ourselves himself. Your Messiah.
Oh, my God.
Here you are what you are. You are what your record is. You're a 1-7 football team.
Okay. Paul, you're a Giant fan. Are you at least, do you see a better team in front of you right now than you've seen in the past? I got to ask the question.
Yeah, Paul, come see the light. Did you see it? It's there.
Such
it's
a dick.
Not where the Giants are now.
I missed that.
The question was, do you think
this? I missed that question, but all I got to say is. You're breaking up on me again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so what I asked you was, when you watch this team this year, do you at least see the foundation of something better than you've watched in the past?
Paul? Somewhat. I mean, I honestly, I would have liked to see Eli still be on this team.
Oh my God.
I would have liked to see him still mentor, get another year. Like so many other great quarterbacks had 2 years of some veteran quarterback mentoring them. And look, I don't care who the friggin' quarterback is. If you don't have any tools to pass to,
yeah.
If your star running back goes down mm-hmm. in the first friggin' game of the season and you can't do the fucking dump pass that gets you 7, 8 yards a pop.
First of all, he's not even throwing the ball 8 yards a pop.
I don't care who it is. If you don't have tools, if you
shame. It's a fucking shame. Fucking
see what you leave me with, Paul? You see
0-7.
What?
0-7.
You see? And 0-7. Yeah, he's a typical Jeff fan. Oh, my team. I know my team sucks. I know my team sucks. Yes. Yeah. 50.
Listen, I don't give a fuck. You know why? Because now they get rid of. That's good. You want to show? Want me to show you?
No, we don't want to see yours. No, thank you.
All right, first of all, they get rid of Adam Gase, okay? Sam Darnold hasn't hit 200 yards, I think, all fucking season. He's another one that gets hurt every time you turn around. The guy's made of fucking glass. Get rid of him. It's time to go, man. Move on.
Listen, we'll see. Listen, Paul, I love you. I thank you so much. I want you to come on more often. You're welcome anytime. And obviously, when more things happen with the Mets, maybe a little hot stove will get you back on and talk a little more baseball. During the winter, and hopefully we'll see it pretty soon. Holidays are coming up.
Notice he said it when things start to happen for the Mets, not when things start to happen for the Giants. So you'll never have to come on and talk football over here, right?
He's such a dick.
So you better hope the Mets start doing something.
Such a dick.
Hey, listen, I may be the only guy here on the page here and on this screen that actually cares if their team wins.
You know what? I know for sure the Giants are going to do something before the Jets do.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about it, brother. Absolutely. Listen, hopefully we'll see you soon. We got a yearly jam coming up in a month or so. So let's start talking about that. And, of course, listen, love to have you back soon.
John, I'm going to allow all of us in the studio at once.
Well, you don't have a choice. First.
Paul, what'd you say? You have a choice?
You don't have a choice.
He don't have a choice. He's got to let us in. He can use the thermostats, whatever he wants to use, but thermometers, but we'll be back this year. But, Paul, listen, brother, I love you. Thank you for coming on, and, we'll see you soon. I think we lost him.
What happened? A third party comes on, that's it. He's gone?
Yeah, I think he's. I think we lost him. We lost Paul.
Did Tommy John come on?
No, he didn't show up so far. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen him. So, listen, there's nothing I can do. I sent him out the email. I got a confirmation, and, I guess Tommy's, maybe he's busy. Something changed. We'll see what happens. But I don't think so. I have nothing new on my – I just checked my email. There's nothing there.
All right. So what do you want to talk about?
Eric Brady says Gase is the de Blasio of football. Yeah. Eric.
Is Eric Brady?
Eric, I love you. I think you're great. Absolutely, you're right. But listen – be careful. De Blasio is Jeff's guy. That's his guy.
I'm asking the question, who is Eric Brady?
I don't know who Eric Brady is. Whoever he is, he's a smart guy.
I like Eric Brady.
He got it right. But Eric, be careful. That's Jeff's guy. De Blasio.
Listen,
Jeff's got a little.
Saying about De Blasio, let me explain something.
Oh, man. Boy. Here we go.
Okay. The man is a fucking total jerk off.
Yeah.
When he was running for mayor, he promised me the biggest raise out of anybody running for mayor. I work for the city. I don't go to work so that I can say I have the coolest mayor. I go to work for the guy that says he'll give me the most money, just like most normal people. So that's why he got my vote. Is he a fucking idiot? Dude, he shouldn't even be allowed to work in a circus, this jerk off. He really shouldn't. He's a fucking turd burglar. He's a fucking moron.
Lou Pica wants him. Lou Pica said, from what I hear, Jeff voted for de Blasio twice. He probably has a crush on Hillary Clinton. That's what he said. That's not me. Lou.
That's fine. Lou Pica, get the fuck out of here.
Lou, you got under his skin, Lou. You got him, Lou. You got him on the ropes.
Get out. I don't even know Lou Pica.
Lou's the best. Yes, but yes, Eric, I love the – I'm looking forward to baseball. I'm looking forward to seeing what Steve Cohen does for the Mets. Listen, when the New York teams do well, even if they're the Mets and the Jets, it's good for New York. It's good for sports. It just is. That's just the way it goes. Again, Hard Rocket Sports Guys, 347-826-9934 on the radio side. You're watching Jeff Tominski, Tom Floria, and everybody here at the Hard Rocket Sports Show on a Thursday night, talking sports, talking music. Not much music to talk about, Jeff. I went through Blabbermouth and all the different sites, and there was just nothing new to talk about music-wise.
No, actually, I got something for you to talk about.
Go ahead, throw it out.
Well, if you've seen it, Charlie Benanti. The guy from, I think it was Mastodon, William Duvall from Alice in Chains, and another band recorded a Soundgarden song, Rusty Cage, and it was actually pretty good. It was a pretty good version. They did.
Really?
Pretty good, yeah. I don't know if you caught it.
I did. You know, I saw it on Blabbermouth, and I didn't click on it. I try to catch a lot of that stuff because I kind of like when you get guys together and they record a song and they don't try to make a band out of it.
you know, they kind of do some of that stuff for charity. They do that some of that stuff there. There was one that was, I think it was Glenn Hughes, Tony Iommi, Nico McBrain, and somebody else. And they did a couple songs. And I thought that was a really, you know, they weren't talking about being a band. They just did some stuff. I kind of like that. I don't like the band thing when they try to put a band together. But record a song, play a song or two, I think it's pretty cool.
It depends on who it is.
Yeah. You know, like, no, of course.
You know, Sleeve came around for a while. I liked them. I didn't like Rage Against the Machine. And Audio Sleeve, to me, was completely different than anything that Cornell was doing.
Right.
So I liked it when it was out. But I do hear you. Some of these combinations are like, wow, how did these guys even know one another, much less get together to play?
Yeah. No, I agree.
This particular one with William Duvall, he did an excellent job on vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. But Charlie Benanti has been playing with just about everybody.
Yeah, you know, we have a connection to Charlie Benanti, and I've been kind of reluctant to use it.
Wow.
Well, I put it out there, and I was told when he had something to put on that he would come on through a mutual friend of ours. We both know the guy. And I sent out a message, and then, you know, a little while ago, because he was putting out Charlie Benanti has like a coffee company or something. There's like some sort of a coffee thing. And then he was putting out some sort of music, and I sent out a message, and I didn't get a return.
From Charlie Benanti?
No, from our mutual friend.
Oh.
So. Oh,
I don't know who it is, so.
You do. I'll tell you off the air. Casey's listening, But we'll see. But, Patty, I agree with stay with Daniel Jones if you're the Giants. Huh?
Then I think I might know who it is.
He's been on the show before one time.
Then I don't know.
Yeah, he's been on the show one time. He works for the city. Same organization that your brother used to work for.
Oh, okay. I know who you're talking about.
Okay, yeah. I don't want to say it out loud. So, but
I highly doubt he's listening.
Yeah, I agree. But maybe somebody. You never know. But we'll leave it alone. Let's. You know what? Well, Jeff. While we're waiting for now, we have Rafael at 8:30. Guys, hang in there. Rafael Esparza, the head odds maker over at mybookie.ag, will be on with us about 8:30. I pushed him a little later because Tommy John was going to be on. But we'll talk.
Tommy John's supposed to be
on. 7:45.
Really?
Yeah. I know he's West Coast. He's in Arizona. So maybe he's counting ballots out there. Maybe he's part of like the ballot counting crew.
I don't know either.
Speaking
of counting ballots.
Yeah.
Rafael. There's somebody that put a big sum of money on the fucking election somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
And well, I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, there is.
Sure.
And that is hanging in the balance.
Oh, yeah. If you're sitting out there right now and you got money on one of these guys, yeah, you're sweating it out, right? Yeah.
Anytime that you may see the words special report come up on the screen, I'll be staining your fucking underwears.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I stayed up till I dozed off about 12 or 1 for about an hour, and I was up till 4:30 watching the election.
Wow.
Yeah, I stayed up. I stayed up as much as I could to watch it. So I saw the bets go up. I watched the stock market, the Chinese market, the whole bit. But Jeff, there's a little.
Okay. There was one person that I had a mute on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah, only because I just couldn't take listen.
I think I know who it is.
What a fucking dick.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he
once play in the Hard Rock and Sports Band?
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. Listen, I like the guy at all, and I like his politics. But yes, I know exactly what you mean. A little slowdown is fine. I got you.
Yeah, and then you know, listen, real quick. There's a couple people that are like, I can't. I'm a wreck. I can't handle this. It's over. Then all of a sudden, like to me, all of the fucking Trump fans were all like, that's it. It's over. It's over. He lost. All of the people that I know that were a Biden fan, oh my God, Trump could still come back and win this. It's not. He's going to win. There's no way that Biden wins it. It's like, you know what? Who gives a fuck at this point? Right now, half the world is laughing at us.
Yeah.
Can't even fucking.
I agree with that. No, listen, I agree with it. And all I said was I am bothered by it because I want Trump to win. I think he's better for the country than Biden will be. And that's fine. I am not hanging off the edge of the buildings for it. I want it to be fair. I want them to do it right. I don't like the stuff that's going on with it. But at the end of the day, there's nothing I can do about it. So I will just keep doing what I do every day, hopefully do the show every week. And whoever's president come January 21st, I will still get up and go to work every day. It's you know, but I have not abandoned. I think at this point, it's almost anybody's game at this moment.
Of course, it's almost anybody's game because they haven't even, you know, listen, how come on election night, they can get all of the tallies from every state by the time you wake up the next day, you know who won? But now this is how many days later, all of this early voting, nobody thought to count this shit as it was happening?
Yeah, no. Well, listen.
I'm not a smart guy, but I know if I was going to get 10 million fucking ballots, be like, okay, they came in today, start counting. Let's keep a tally of this shit.
Listen, Jeff, and again, I wanted to bring it a little bit with Tommy John, but listen, you know, I'm watching it 10:30 at night, and all the signs point to Trump. And then all of a sudden, I started hearing, well, they're going to stop counting in Georgia. They're going to stop counting in Pennsylvania. They're going to stop counting here. And I'm going, but 10:30 at night on a presidential election, why wouldn't you have a second crew coming or a third crew, whatever? Okay. And then I go to bed about 4:30 and Trump's up in Wisconsin, you know, 100,000 votes, whatever it is. Same thing in Michigan. And I get up in the morning and he's down because 240,000 ballots came in overnight, literally all for Biden. You know, I'm a reasonable human being and you can explain a lot to me. I don't understand how 240,000 ballots appear overnight and they're all for one. I mean, not even like three for Trump or three, you know, Kanye got two votes, Dr. Seuss got a couple, and Trump got one. I mean, 240,000 ballots show up, change the entire election, and they're all for one guy. I mean, Jeff, if you were going to do that, you'd get, say, guys, give me 250,000 ballots. I'm going to give Trump 10,000 just so they don't pay attention. I mean, who did this? Trump, Matty Sozio?
If they gave Trump 10, 20, 30 votes, or 10,000, 20,000, 150,000 votes, somebody's going to turn around and say, oh, this isn't right, this isn't right. But, yeah, you're 100% right. 200,000 votes come in, and they're all for one person. Something's not right.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I don't understand.
God.
I don't know if they're lying or bullshitting with the election. We will never know.
No, we're never going to know.
And maybe our kids or our grandkids may know one day. That's possible.
It's possible.
Okay. But let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it feasible to think that they're fixing this election to the point where they're going to say, okay, get those extra 200,000 votes in the fucking armored car out on the street, and we'll slip them in and nobody will notice? Do they really think that is that what's happening, and do they really think that we're that fucking stupid? Because if so, that's incredible. That's absolutely fucking incredible.
I you know what, Jeff? I don't know. That's the thing. Here's the thing I say. I'm not a big conspiracy theorist. I'm really not. I don't believe in a lot of that kind of stuff. But when stuff like the 200,000 ballots shows up, when in Pennsylvania they don't let anybody from the Republican side watch the ballots, then they go to court. The judge says you got to let them watch, and then they still won't let them watch. You know, something bothers me about that. You know, if it's you know, when you hear, well, they gave them the wrong pens, they told them to use Sharpies, Sharpies aren't allowed. Like, there's a lot of little stuff. If there's a couple of little things, you go, okay, you let it go. But when you won't be transparent, Fox, I like Fox. I'm watching 10:30 at night. Fox comes up and says, Joe Biden's going to win in Arizona. We're announcing it now. And I'm looking, I'm going, there's still 500,000-600,000 ballots to count. How, you know, well, we know the path. Now, all of a sudden, 2 days later, it went from a huge Biden lead to it shrunk, and it shrunk down to like 50,000. And there's still a couple hundred thousand ballots to get to. You know, I'm kind of going, you know, there's a lot of funny stuff here. Do I think we're ever going to get to the truth? Absolutely not. We're never going to get to the truth because the government doesn't want you to get to the truth. They don't want you to think that there was corruption. They don't want you to know that there was corruption or there wasn't. They would rather you be guessing at it than actually know one way or the other. Honestly.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Remember earlier today I said I have a conspiracy theory.
Yes. You never, which by the way, you never, yeah.
You never got a chance, but let's, could we real quick?
Sure. We got 11 minutes before we get to Raphael. You can talk about whatever you want.
This is just, you know, crazy. But mm-hmm. You know what? With today's world and the way the government does things, sure, and everything else, you just never know.
Absolutely.
Is it possible? Is it possible?
Yeah.
That Trump, one, does not want to be president. Okay? Now, mm-hmm. Hear it all out.
Go ahead. I won't say a word. Go ahead.
It's probably probably kind of retarded and crazy, but what not? Why, we got nothing else.
Sure.
Is it possible that right now at this point in time, he was just like, you know what, fuck it. I really don't want to be president no more. I'm done with this shit. They've been busting my balls for fucking years. I'm just tired of it. And they're like, but we need you to run. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
But this is what we'll do. You'll lose the election. You'll put up a front like you wanted to win the election. We'll go through some bullshit process. We're going to give it to Joe because he's only going to stay there for a fucking year or so anyway. And then the chick is going to take over.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you got enough money. You'll be fine. It doesn't matter. You're going to get more money anyway. Okay. Joe will just put him out someplace so his brain could finish turning to oatmeal. It really doesn't matter what happens to him.
True.
He's going to be in charge, Kamala Harris, and fuck everything up. We'll let her do whatever she's going to do because if it's a republic, if most of the congressmen and senators are Republican, they're going to bust her balls like the Democrats did to Trump anyway.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of like a push. You know, they won last hand, we win this hand. And it doesn't matter because nothing's going to get done because there's no, they're going to be like, oh, you think we're going to work with you, right?
Well, that's, yeah, that's, you know, the one good thing. Yeah, finish up, Harry.
As long as the people don't, A, start a civil war,
mm-hmm.
or B, the unrest happens, which it hasn't really yet. A couple minor protests here and there. But if everything transitions smoothly, they're just maybe just going to continue to be like, well, you know what? There's nothing that Donnie can do. He lost the election. Joe, congratulations, you're the president. And he's going to be like, hey, I get pudding. And that's it. You know what I mean?
Jello night at the home.
Yeah. He is, yeah. And then they're just going to take him home and put him in a rocket chair out on the back porch.
Yeah, you know, it's, listen, I think Trump wanted to be president. I mean, listen, if you watch the end of it, he was doing five rallies a day the last few days. I believe he really wanted to be president. Listen, you know, it's a fun theory. I have to be honest with you. Now, I'm not sure I buy into it, but it's a fun theory, and it's, you know, anything's possible. Listen, I think Trump really got off on being president. I think he did a good job. I think what you saw, you know, I think one thing, this election proved one thing. One, polls don't work. That's the first thing. Sorry, a couple things. Second thing it proved was that Trump's not racist, and here's why. He got more Latino and African-American votes than probably any Republican of all time. I can't even – I didn't see the numbers yet, but he had less white guys voting for him than the last time he ran, and he got a huge Latino and African-American vote. So I think the
– And who said this?
Oh, it's been reported everywhere. It's all the exit numbers coming. Yeah, all the exit polls and all the –
Like the polls said that Biden was winning by 10 points.
Well, again, those are there's differences.
Is it really something you could believe? Yes.
Well, again, you know, if somebody walks out and says, I just voted for Trump, you have to believe it. The problem with the polls beforehand, it's they target certain areas. So it's a little different. Plus, you kind of know when somebody goes to vote, they have the name. You know, if you go search in the computer, you can find out that you voted and, you know, who you voted for. It shows the whole thing. It's there. The information's there. Yeah, so I think it's a lot more, you know, it's a lot more, and listen, and just in Florida alone, he won Florida because of the Latin vote in Miami. He didn't win more, but, you know, Biden got more votes, but a lot less than Hillary got. So, again, I just think that it proves that the Trump is not racist. And here's the other thing. I haven't heard a word about COVID for 3 days. I haven't heard that we're all going to die next week. I haven't heard anything about COVID anywhere.
One, COVID is a bullshit.
November 4th.
All right. But yeah, you still got to wear a mask when you go in the store.
I agree with you because nobody said it's because we've been so well trained for 6 months that until they come out and say, oh, by the way, you don't have to wear that mask anymore. You know, we're waiting for that day. It's going to happen. But right now, COVID, they scared all the old people. They scared a whole bunch of people into thinking, Jesus Christ, we got to get rid of Trump because Joe Biden's got the answer. Nobody's got the answer. I'm sorry.
But I just real quick look on my news.
Yeah.
On iPhone news. Mm-hmm. 17 U.S. states report record increase in COVID-19 cases. So it's still there. It's just that this is the biggest news story of the fucking day. What's amazing is that 1, 2, 3, 4 states, 5 states, Trump has not gotten an electoral vote in the last 2 days, and fucking Biden is 6 votes away.
Yeah.
Nobody's moved.
Again, it's just gonna play out for a long time. Whether they officially announce Biden, I think that Biden's gonna get it. It's gonna happen over the weekend because it'll be less a new story. You ever watch it? In the government will always drop a news story on a Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock because nobody's paying attention. Right. Right. So to me, it's gonna happen, and then this will go through the courts. They're gonna recount a whole bunch of places. And you know, I don't think it's ever going to change. I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful that Trump will. I think they'll find a way to find more votes in Arizona, and then you know he holds on in Pennsylvania and Georgia and North Carolina, and he wins the election. It's possible. I think at this point it's anybody's ball game. But I think at the end of the day, if Biden wins or Trump wins, that's how it's going to end. It'll just go through a bunch of series of court cases. And, you know, Trump will go kicking and screaming.
Well, listen,